kind of music that brings you joy, that speaks to your soul and makes you feel uplifted? Is it classical? Is it jazz, salsa, funk, pop? Or is it this?
Just a moment, get away from us again. Give me a planet, this is forever done.
Now that's a song called Code of the Slashers by the death metal outfit Cannibal Corpse. What does hearing that song provoke in you? New research at Macquarie University has found that death metal music, with its aggressive sound and violent lyrics, paradoxically brings about a kind of positive, energetic state in its fans. Now, for those of us who are not fans, and I have to say that I count myself among that number, are we missing something? Professor Bill Thompson is from the Department of Psychology at Macquarie University. He's part of a research team that's been looking into the emotional responses of fans to aggressive music. Now, Bill, first of all, I've got to say it's fabulously genre-busting that you're joining us from Tamworth, the country music capital, to talk about death metal. G'day.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Okay. So tell us why you decided to do research on this kind of heavy metal music, death metal.
Right. Well, it's one of the genres of music that's hardly ever talked about. It's often misunderstood. So in my lab at Macquarie University, we've been studying experiences of music for decades. But bands like death metal bands like Cannibal Corpse and Carcass and other death metal bands, they just aren't really talked about. And there's a common stereotype that the people who are death metal fans are all deeply troubled, aggressive types who are angry and potentially violent. And so we just wanted to find out what exactly are the experiences of death metal fans and what are their motivations for listening to this music, and what's the music like? So it also involved learning from our perspective, although one of my co-authors is a kind of extreme metal drummer, so we weren't exactly coming at this from the outside, but we wanted to know more.
So for those who are into it then, Bill, what is the appeal of this kind of very aggressive music? As you say, one assumes it mirrors their preoccupations, but really what you found is a bit counterintuitive, I think.
Well, yes, and I think that the notion that the music is aggressive is, I think, accurate. I find it aggressive, and I think most fans would agree that there's an aggressive side, but they also really value the level of expertise of the musicians and also the compositional techniques of death metal. They do actually break barriers. They're not the conventional verse, chorus, verse. They don't have a clear sense of key, which is a kind of hallmark of most music that's very predictable, and you know where it's going to start, you know where it's going to end. Death metal doesn't have a stable tempo often. So it's actually breaking a lot of boundaries.
But what about the sort of psychosocial aspect?
Yeah, and so death metal fans, I think, identify very closely with this music and with the people, other fans. So they have a strong sense of identity, and so when they listen to this, they get a feeling of empowerment, they get a feeling of joy, they get a feeling of peace, wonder.
Peace.
Peace as well, which is kind of counterintuitive because it's so frenetic, the music, but I think it brings them to a space where it kind of is affirming, and it also is inspiring to them. And for that reason, I think that they feel that sense of peacefulness.
Well, here in Life Matters, let's meet a metal fan. Mia Timpano is a broadcaster and writer. Mia, what's the appeal for you of this music? Heavy metal in general, perhaps, or metal, maybe it's... Is it still called heavy metal, or is that...
You can say heavy metal. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, Amanda.
Okay.
But we are talking, I suppose, more about extreme metal this morning.
Yeah. So what's the appeal of that for you?
It's hard to describe something that you love so much, mm-hmm. or something that you have fallen in love with and have connected with in a very deep way. What the appeal is for me, there's a number of things that I find very appealing about it. I love how aggressive it is. It makes me feel alive. It's very, very enriching, interesting to listen to. For me, when I hear the kind of pop music that I hear, say, for example, at the gym, I actually find that frustratingly, irritatingly boring. I need something that's a lot more complex. And then with regards to the emotional content of the music, and I suppose everybody is going to feel different based on what they're hearing. It's a very individualized experience. But for me, when I hear something that's very thrashy or very intense, I do feel very soothed. And I can't tell you exactly how that works, but I will listen to extreme metal for the same reasons that people might go to yoga. I will listen to it if I've been having maybe a hard day or I'm emotionally overwhelmed. And yes, I understand how counterintuitive it seems. It is even counterintuitive to me on the surface. But if I am feeling emotionally overwhelmed, as I say, I'll put on a bit of, say, death metal or grindcore or hardcore, and instantly I actually feel relaxed.
Well, it's fascinating, this, because to me, not being a fan, this is music that does make me feel stressed. It makes me tense up in my body. So, Bill, is what Mia's saying borne out in your research about the sort of soothing effect, the yogic effect this music has on her body and soul?
Yeah, absolutely. It aligns perfectly. And what we find is that non-fans have basically the opposite reaction. So they're feeling,
as I've described.
Yeah, they're feeling angry, they're feeling fearful, they're feeling tense when listening to this. And it's just absolutely opposite for fans who are feeling this sense of empowerment, joy. They talk about joy, and which is interesting because on the surface, it looks like there's a lot of violence. There's often misogyny in the lyrics, and the music has a kind of growling. The vocals sound like an animal growling about to attack. But yet they're feeling this sense of peace, wonder, nostalgia. And I think it's exactly for the reasons that Mia mentioned. But also, everybody's individual, and so I think that they're hearing what's in the music to a greater extent than non-fans are. We maybe hear more noise. They're actually hearing what's going on with the different textures.
Well, let's hear another snippet of a death metal song. This is by a Greek band called Necrovorus. Is
yes,
that right, man?
Necrovorus.
Yep. It's a track called "The Sun Has Risen in a Land I No Longer See." And you're listening to Life Matters. Yes, Life Matters, talking about the appeal of metal music, particularly death metal, with Mia Timpano, who's a writer, broadcaster, huge metal fan, and Bill Thompson from the Department of Psychology at Macquarie University, who's involved in research into who enjoys listening to violent music and why. So, Mia, let's just talk a bit about the lyrics, as Bill was alerting us to. I mean, how do you justify or reconcile to yourself that the sort of violence and misogyny that's often in the lyrics with death metal?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. Firstly, I would say that it would not be fair to extreme metal or metal in general to characterise it as mostly misogynist in terms of its lyrical content. That's actually, in terms of the metal that I consume, and I consume a lot of metal, a lot of extreme metal from different subgenres, and I would say that there is very little, maybe even no misogynist lyrics in the music that I listen to.
So
extreme metal is very varied.
You can navigate your way. You can.
Absolutely. But I would really stress that it would be incorrect to characterize it mostly in that way. I think that might be, that's not taking into consideration the full scope of music that is out there. Also, another thing to bear in mind is that the lyrics are often completely indecipherable.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you can't understand them anyway. So.
You absolutely can't. I was looking through some of my, so I spend a lot of time on Bandcamp finding new underground metal music, and I was just scrolling through all the music that I've bought recently, and it occurred to me that I a lot of the music has no lyrics. A lot of the music that I listen to has lyrics in other languages. So I will sing along to an Icelandic band. I have absolutely no idea what the lyrics actually are. And then there are, as I say, there are often times when I can't actually decipher what those lyrics are. The other day I was listening to a track from one of my favourite Swedish bands called Cult of Luna, and I thought the lyric was wipe me down with pancakes in your eyes, and it turned out to be put me down where I can see you run. So the growling, the way that these lyrics are delivered, it's unusual that you would actually be engaging with the lyrical content. However, let's say you are engaging with the lyrical content, which you might. I'm thinking about a band like Slayer, where the lyrics are probably a lot more decipherable. And I have sung along at a Slayer concert. And with regards to those violent themes that are explored, I don't see that as any different to violence in any form of fiction or literature. If I sing along to a song with violent lyrics, that doesn't make me a violent person any more than someone who likes the Twilight films is a vampire. You know, so I see it very much as a form of fiction.
Right. Bill, does that, again, with the research you did into the lyrics, does that sort of, is that borne out in your research too?
Well, I think that this is a really important point, that there's violence in Shakespeare. Richard III is one of the most violent kind of experiences that one can have. But I think that what we're doing right now is we're trying to quantify actually the proportion of different genres like death and thrash and of violent lyrics. And my reading is that there really is quite a lot of violent lyrics. It's true that there's a substantial a kind of number of bands that explore. They explore death, say, I mean, if it's death metal, they're exploring death, and they're exploring violence in a kind of abstract way. So if you talk about Carcass, they're somewhat interesting lyrics. So it's true that it could be seen as just being explicit about the violence that's already in our society, that's often disguised, it's often glossed over, it's part of human experience, and in art, we can explore it. Mm. And death metal is one of those examples where it explores the violence that's there. Having said that, it's true, not all of the lyrics are violent. But one of the things that we have found in our recent research is that death metal fans are actually pretty good at deciphering the lyrics. They're far better than non-fans. And so we're just publishing a paper now on this that shows that they have a kind of expertise effect. Most of them know basically the lyrics, but anyway, but even if you present unfamiliar lyrics to them in that kind of low growl, they're really good at it, almost like, you know, deciphering a Scottish accent if you're not from Scotland. They actually have tuned in and have a much better ability to comprehend those lyrics.
Well, you may want to open your mind to death metal after this conversation. Professor Bill Thompson is from the Department of Psychology at Macquarie University, one of the authors of the research report, Who Enjoys Listening to Violent Music and Why? Joining us from Tamworth, the nation's country music capital, and in Melbourne, writer, broadcaster and massive metal fan, Mia Timpano. Thanks to you both.
Absolute pleasure, Amanda.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Amanda Smith with you. This is Life Matters.